right, The Drive is live, and there is Tyler. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, if you're seeing it, Tyler does have on a blazer and no hat. And
doesn't happen often.
And it really pisses me off.
I knew you were going to say
that. I was not going to do that because I do want to stay on topic, but it pisses me off.
The hat part primarily, right?
No, that's it. Is look at that. Look at that. That's an A plus. You got a part working. You got that hair combed right into that little whip that you like. I mean, the fade is nice. And you come out here every day and you disrespect your barber and you just disrespect what your hair has been doing for years. And it is fantastic. And you cover it up.
Well, I appreciate the compliment, man.
I'm surprised you didn't have a hat in the car just to do it.
Oh, I got it in here with me. I'm definitely making a wardrobe change here pretty soon.
You'll sweat through that one, I bet.
My man right there, he got deep V-neck with the blazer and the burgundy pants. That's what I'm talking about, do you?
Thanks, but, bro.
Black up top with them burgundy britches. That's it. What kind of shoes you go with? They weren't Doc Martens, are they?
Vans.
Vans. Yep. I got to pull that. I didn't need to see that. text line, nobody said he was Darrell Revis. I'm just saying they treat him like that. Well, listen, we talked about that yesterday, and we talked about just, hey, he's still a great player. I think they got to just, hey, leaving him on an island. That was coming, what happened Sunday. He had gotten away with giving up big plays, and I think they just need to kind of pull back. Because I don't think there are any Darrell Revises in the league, to be honest, right now. I don't think there is any corner in the league, Clint, that I'd say, hey, go bump and run with 30 seconds left with no help behind you. I don't think there's anybody in the half. I don't think there's anybody in the league that you consistently should do that, and it feels like that's how they're attacking it. But I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that because we will get to that in stock up, stock down. Apparently, you got somebody in that range. But I think the news is to the other side of the secondary and the cornerback position, and really the secondary overall injuries kind of going, continuing to give the Texans issues. Sources say Texans rookie cornerback, this coming from Aaron Wilson, Kamari Lassiter, with that, he's got that shoulder issue. It's a fracture in the shoulder. Clint, he's expected to miss and be out a few more games. So a few is three, right? I'm just making sure I get that. Couple is two.
Nailed it.
And one is one. A couple is two, and a few is three, and several is now IR territory. So a few sounds like at least three games. Jimmy Ward, also with the groin, is going to miss the Packers game. Whenever we get the full injury report, we'll pass that along. But Clint, we talked about Derek Stingley, but Kamari Lassiter, you missed him in the last game against the Patriots, and now it looks like you may miss him for a few more games. As I said, that's three. That's the Packers with a great passing attack. I think probably the best complete offense when you talk about coach, play caller, quarterback, offensive weapons that the Texans have had to face this year. Him, they play them, the Lions coming. The Jets, who just got Devontae Adams coming along. The Colts, who had a couple of big plays that they hit and a couple of that they missed coming up. So they're going to be without Kamari Lassiter for the next few games. How big is this one for you? Because I know you said Mario Edwards Jr., that's kind of a big deal, even though Autry coming back. How big is it with Kamari Lassiter?
Well, I think it's big because, Ron, the teams you just mentioned, they're going to challenge not just the guy that's playing Kamari Lassiter's position, or if Kamari's back, him. They're going to challenge Eric Murray the way the Texans have been playing defense. They're going to challenge Jalen Petrie the way the Texans have been playing defense. And so it's going to be a different level of a challenge when Green Bay, you know, when the Green Bay comes around, a Green Bay game comes around here. It's just going to be a different challenge all the way around. And on top of that, the Green Bay attack is more of a, we've got four guys that complement each other really well, and we'll use any of them. We can literally line up in any formation and pick the mismatch that we want. They're not a Devontae Adams is over here, go, you know, shade your safety over there, give your best corner, push your coverage that direction. You know, that's from a scheme standpoint, that's a little bit easier than when you've got three or four guys and plus a tight end scattered across there that can hurt you. And so, you know, I think the Kamari Lassiter thing is, is big because that's the case. Right now, it's not Kamari that they can target. It's your third best cover corner. And so it's a problem. And it's we talked about this before. I don't know exactly what they're going to do with the nickel position. Yeah. If they're going to continue to pressure the way that they are, they're going that they always talk about the coverage matching the rush. Boy, there could be some real challenges this week with their personnel, the way it's they've rolled that thing out all year long. And when it's minus Kamari Lassiter, one of your starting corners, your second best cover guy on the team behind Derek Stingley, that's big problems any way you slice it. There's another part to this injury that interests me that comes to mind here. I know D'Amico Ryans wants everybody on his football team to be physical. But I've seen Kamari Lassiter make a hit and stand up and beat himself on the head all I want.
You're going to get hit hard.
This is a perfect example. I know it's football. I know it's a rough sport.
You think he's being too physical?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you could ever be too physical, but I do think there's a point of, hey, man, you're a corner. Just get it accomplished. I mean, he's a heat-seeking missile. He's coming in. He hits like he's...
But that's
like
a big part of what they liked about him and his game, his physicality, and how he comes up and feels with the room.
And that's fine. And that's fine. But this is going to happen. This kind of... It's a scapula, bro. Yeah. It's the back of your shoulder.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and maybe it's a freak accident. Maybe I watch him play, and I love the physicality. I love the physicality in his basic fundamentals and technique when he's playing coverage. Mm. I don't like the heat-seeking. You know what? I love Buda Baker in Arizona, too. But I ain't real sure that his career is going to last much longer the way he plays the game. It scares me, Ron, because what happens is he's the heat-seeking missile. He plays that physical, and then he gets up and he's beating himself on the head. Like, he's in a mental place of, like, I'll break my neck trying to tackle.
But I
like
think that's. I think that he has to be that way.
Well, he's asking to back off a little bit.
I'm just saying to be.
I'm looking
best.
Out for him.
I know. No, I know. I hear what you're saying, but I don't think Kamari Lassiter is the Kamari Lassiter if he's not in that mental state or playing.
Give me,
that way.
And I'm asking. I'm not being a smartass here. Give me one corner that's played in the league for a while and been a starting corner that is maybe not Pro Bowl but is a staple starting corner somewhere that runs up and feels on the run and gets up and beats the hell out of his own head five times on the way back to the huddle. I just don't see that when I watch corners play.
I think L'Jarius Sneed is a really physical corner that feels and hits. Now I don't know if he's punching himself in the head or anything, but I mean he's a physical player. I just think that's just a part of him. If you say, hey man, we got to back this off, I just don't know if you get the
well. No, I don't know. I'm not saying that D'Amico. What I'm saying is I hope that he as a player now sees this. It comes out on the flip side of this. He's going to be fine, obviously, but comes out on the flip side of this injury of, hey, I probably need to do things a little bit differently. This. You know, when Jonathan Taylor bounces a run outside, I probably shouldn't try to square that guy up. You know, when the guys in this league, and I'm not saying he did, I'm just saying in general, like you can be a physical corner without playing with a linebacker's mentality. That's it. Jalen Petrie is unbelievably physical. I don't watch him play and go, boy, he might, there's a good chance he's going to leave any game with a concussion. Leading with his head, I mean, coming downhill, heat-seeking missile. He plays as physical as anybody else.
You're glad you brought. I feel like I see them similar. Like
I've yet to see. Now I think Jalen Petrie's a much better tackler than people give him credit for. I think he is physical, but some of the plays that I've seen in Kamari's 5-game career here, it's reckless, man. And look, I admire and respect it. I don't have it in me. Admire and respect it. I'm just. I hope on the flip side of this injury. I hope he comes out of it going, okay, well, let me just be a physical corner that tackles well instead of playing a way that I cost myself 2 or 3 games in the middle of the season because I broke a shoulder. A shoulder. My man broke a shoulder, Chief.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I wonder if he can make that adjustment and be the same dude that he can be.
I just want him to be healthy and be in play. That's all I want. I mean, that's... Ultimately, that's the
game. Because I don't know
if
he had these problems. I mean, he played like this at Georgia, didn't he? I don't know if he had these problems there. But we'll see. My thought with it was, I think it's an issue to me is just because, I mean, you just can't keep losing kind of frontline guys at this part of the season.
Ooh, yeah.
You know what
that's
I mean?
A great
like,
point, yeah.
Like, you're all right, now you're down Nico. and he's clearly your number one weapon. And, you know, you hope Mixon and Pierce are good, but, you know, they've been in and out of the lineup. You're down Christian Harris, who is now, as shout out to Luke, who was with us yesterday, but has now pointed out we've reached Kyle Tucker territory with Christian Harris. It's been 3 months since the injury of the strained calf has come about. So I mean, you're without Christian Harris. Now Jimmy Ward, now your other starting corner, right? And we'll see what's with your offensive line. And they've just got frontline guys missing with the Packers and the Lions and the Jets and the tougher part of the schedule coming up. To me, that's a big deal. Is, man, all right, you could take some of them. You take some of them, you're playing the Patriots. All right, you know, come on, Patriots. You know, the Jags a little bit, especially the way they've been playing. They're just losing some of their top guys.
That's interesting. 713-572-4610. Are you worried about the Texans' injuries piling up? Again, Nico Collins, Kamari Lassiter, Edwards, whether injuries or just suspensions, Edwards bouncing out of there. Christian Harris, you mentioned. Jimmy Ward, don't know how long that's going to last. Are you worried about the Texans' injuries at this point in time? I agree with you, Ron. I think it's a great point. Because you not only, I mean, you're missing your best linebacker.
And we'll see about Aziz on the injury report. Neville Hewitt's having to play snaps in the second half.
Yep. There was an injury last week. He came back in. But, yes, there was an injury last week that we got to keep an eye on. Absolutely. We'll definitely be on the injury report today. Speaking of, have we got one yet?
Not yet. Okay. Not yet. That'll come out officially a little bit later on.
But that's a great point, Ron. I mean, you want to talk about, I mean, there's no doubt the team overall is a Super Bowl caliber team. Now, they've got to put their best game together, but boy, you look at the stock and you look at the way they go about their business, man. They got a real shot here to make a run. One thing that could derail that is definitely injuries, which is obvious if it's a C.J. Stroud or a Derek Stingley Jr. or, you know, Will Anderson or Danielle Hunter. But what we're talking about now, we're talking about, you know, a group of five or six guys that ultimately make your defense look different, right? I mean, you're and I don't have any problem saying this. I think Aziz Al-Shaair is a really, in the whole total package, he is extremely, he's the most important player on that defense in terms of what he can do and the command, the leadership, holding guys accountable. I get all that. But the best linebacker on this football team is Christian Harris. And I think just in terms of watching film and doing what D'Amico's doing in terms of rushing, using your linebackers in rush and stuff like that, there's no question about it. Christian Harris is your best linebacker, and so you're missing that guy. I mean, boy, as these better teams start to roll in, you know, how concerned are you about those injuries
there? Yeah, as they're dropping there from Aaron Wilson, we'll have the official injury report, but these are the guys who did not practice today. Aziz Al-Shaair didn't practice. Henry Toa didn't practice. So those are your linebackers right now with Christian Harris on IR. Robert Woods, we forgot about him. He missed last week's game. He didn't practice again today. Kamari Lassiter, Jimmy Ward, Foley Fatakasi, they all did not practice today. Did practice Laremy Tunsil. I'll be honest with you. Mixon.
He did practice?
That he did practice.
No, I love it. Hell yeah.
Well, I'm surprised.
I'm shocked anytime he does.
I'm just saying, man, that's a recipe, man. Hey, baby, you went out, didn't return?
Yeah.
The game on Sunday? Oh, yeah, you're going to be out Wednesday.
Ooh, that's big
I thought he practiced Thursday. He's out Wednesday. We'll see if he's, I'm going to guess, limited. But Joe Mixon, Damian Pierce, and Laremy Tunsil did practice from the text line. Yes, but injuries happened. We got to keep going. I'm not worried yet, but if we lose both linebackers and starting corners, it's going to be tough. We got Worry Ron today, y'all. I don't give a damn like that, but I ain't worried. I'm just saying, like, you're starting to roll into some of the better part of your schedule, and you lose a starting corner. You lose your best weapon. You got offensive linemen who don't practice during the week that have missed games. You lose who's arguably been your best interior defensive lineman because of substance abuse policy that he's been hit for four games. So you know it's four there. Like, Christian Harris is out. These aren't just – this ain't Kurt Heinisch no disrespect to Kurt Hines. This ain't, you know, Tegan Quatoriano. These are frontline guys that are starters, that guys that you want to help.
Boy, you look, Azeez Al-Shaair was tremendous when he was sick. Was that last week?
Two weeks ago,
right? Last, so the previous
and now
week.
Now he had a knee.
Yeah, and then the knee. And then this week, I'm telling you, man, as I go through this film, Ron, and I've been going through it the last couple of days, boy, Mario Edwards is better than I thought. I mean, wow. Like he's going to be – if Danico Autry can play inside and give you what Mario Edwards gave you last week, I will be absolutely stoked. If Danico Autry can come back, which, by the way, if he ain't ready to play, boy, the Texans really dropped the ball. I mean, there's no reason why the ramp-up period shouldn't happen over the last month. He should be ready to play as many snaps as he needs to play. If Danico Autry can come back and give you what Mario Edwards Jr. gave you last week versus the Green Bay Packers, then you can consider that an A-plus move in the offseason. Think about that. If Danico, and this straight up, if Danico Autry can play to the level, let me say it that way. If Danico Autry versus the Green Bay Packers can play to the level of Mario Edwards versus the New England Patriots, then that's an A-plus move bringing him in the offseason.
Big. We'll see if he can pull that off. They certainly paid him more.
Yeah.
They invested more.
You would think the expectations would be a lot higher than Mario Edwards Jr., but Mario's been balling.
Yeah, he has. All right, coming up, let's do that. The tape drop yesterday, we'll get your thoughts on certain things from Bobby Slowick to Dalton Schultz. And, yeah, we were talking about that Monday, the interception that C.J. Stroud had. We'll get some thoughts on that. We'll see what the tape said. And remember, coming up, a little bit later on in this hour, you will hear from the head coach, and this is an important one with some of the injury things, as they have a big game against the Packers coming up on Sunday at the end of the hour. D'Amico Ryans, we'll let you hear that as he speaks to the media today. All of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Head coach D'Amico Ryans coming up next segment, so stay tuned for that. We'll get his words on, I think, several things happening with the Texans, from injuries and
when's that happening?
That's coming up next segment in their preparation for Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. Oh. All right, Clint, the tape dropped yesterday, and I know how you get into that all 22 and what things jumped off. What jumped off the screen for you? And I'd say their best offensive performance of the year. Even though it only came with 192 yards passing from C.J. Stroud. But what jumped off the screen on that all-22 you watched?
Well, I think there's a couple of things, and it sounds like you've already hit on a couple yesterday just watching from the TV copy. But so it's a lot of it is just, you know, hey, the confirmation. But Bobby Slowick, I've been very critical of Bobby Slowick. I've been very critical of Bobby Slowick and how he's trying to run the football. I've been on about a three-week run of going, hey, man, the way to run the football with this team appears to be downhill inside. It puts your interior offensive lineman in a better position. It takes the onus off your tight ends for the most part, instead of, you know, outside of just kicking defensive ends or linebackers out and really getting in the way. It takes those guys out of the mix. And it appears, even Joe Mixon, I know he can do it all, but even Joe Mixon, it appears the top two backs that you are invested in, that you just, and I'm talking about just committed to, is Damian Pierce and Joe Mixon. And Ron, there ain't no doubt about it. Bobby's adjustment was, we're going to run this football downhill. We're going to create a couple of little schemes inside where they're trapping a one technique or trapping a shaded nose or one technique, depending on how they were playing it. We're going to try a quick trap on that guy, and we're going to hit it inside downhill. And then Joe Mixon has the ability to bounce it outside, kind of deal. But there's no question about it. That adjustment was made. I personally hope that is a identity adjustment. I hope it's not an opponent adjustment. And just this week, because you're seeing so many different fronts and there's so multiple up front in the New England Patriots, well, we're just going to hit it downhill because, you know, we don't know exactly what we're going to get. I hope they did well enough, which I think they did, but I hope they ran the football well enough in those particular schemes for Bobby to say, when we run the football, can't do it all the time, I get it, you got to at least threaten outside, but when we run the football, this is how we're going to run the football. And it's downhill with Joe Mixon, and it's downhill with Damian Pierce. I love that adjustment. The other thing that goes hand-in-hand with that adjustment, I asked for one thing. In fact, I said I will pull my hair out in the post-game show with Sean Pendergast if we see Dalton Schultz in the I formation again at the fullback position. And I don't believe I saw it one time. Now, is he on the wing some? Like I said, sliding across the formation and kicking defensive ends out? Sure, he can do that. He's fine at that. He's been good enough doing that. But I asked for that one simple adjustment. I needed that to justify and confirm that they're watching the same film I'm watching, and I saw it. Not only was Dalton Schultz not back there, Ron, but they put Kendrick Green's big ass back there multiple times.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do this.
Backup left guard.
Yes, Kendrick indeed. Green. Who Pittsburgh went ahead and let everybody know we're working him at fullback. Well, exactly what I showed you multiple times a week before of Dalton Schultz just having zero interest in doing in terms of leading up on a linebacker. Ron, there's one play where big Kendrick Green is at fullback, and he goes through there, and similar to where he kind of gets tripped up by an offensive lineman just because the alley's a little bit tight, the crease is a little bit tight. My man Fleetfoot's through there and leads with his head. Now, this is some of that reckless stuff I'm talking about, but he kind of got tripped up. But he was so committed to physically dominating that linebacker that when he got tripped up, it just turned him into a damn missile. And he hits this middle linebacker, and this guy falls back, and he stumbles back, and he collapses. It's one of those where it's like, yeah, I'm sure that's what was in the guy's ear right there. I'm sure that's what was in the linebacker's ear that got hit, that Kendrick Green hit right there. But that, like, when I watch it, it's like, that is, I don't care if Kendrick Green is fundamentally and technically sound leading up on a linebacker. But when you lead with physicality, when you are just more physical than the guy across the football from you, you're going to win 90% of your battles. And Kendrick Green was stumbling and bumbling through there, and he just caught the dude sleeping. The dude didn't think he was going to get the contact, and he got it, and he stumbles back. And Joe Mixon, in that same play, I'm going to take it back. My memory's serving me right now. You know who he tripped over? 78. 78's over there kind of lollygagging in the hole, and big Kendrick Green said no. I mean, just ran through his back and then got to the linebacker.
You mean 78 for the Houston Texans?
Yes, I mean 78 Laramie for the Tunzel. Houston Texans that was standing up in the hole, not wanting to move, just standing up, not moving his feet. Kendrick Green put a shoulder in his back as he went by him and let Big Tunzel know, let's move your feet, big fella. Get out of the hole. I'm coming. And that's what you want. That even if it's a lighter tight end, if you commit to being physical and you don't mind being physical, and that's your mindset, that's what it ends up, that's what can happen. That's what it ends up looking like. And that's why I'm so disappointed in the level of softness. Cade Stover got some run at tight end. Now Cade will go up in there and now I don't know if he's gonna win. I don't know if he's gonna be in the right position. I don't know if he's gonna be fundamentally or technically sound. I have no idea, but his ass is gonna hit you. I mean, he's physical. So the adjustments of running the ball downhill and the adjustments of not putting Dalton Schultz in the position to do what he did last week was an A+. And then the wrinkles that they put in there with Stover and Kendrick Green were a huge plus as well. Now that I've somehow got off on Schultz and been negative again, let me be positive on Dalton Schultz.
Let's hear it. It's nice.
I told everybody Monday I'm going to go back and watch this film. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram, at Clint Sterner on both. At Clint Sterner on both Instagram and Twitter. Give me a follow, and I'm going to do this more often. There ain't no way in hell that interception is on Dalton Schultz. Now, there's some people out there, even on Instagram and Twitter, that are still commenting on it to me. No, $12 million tight end. It hit his hand. He got to catch it.
They're about to come here on YouTube.
I'm just here to tell you. I'm a quarterback. I lean towards giving the quarterback the credit for damn near everything and giving everybody else the blame for everything.
Thanks for being
I'm
out.
Telling you right now. Somebody one old boy said, nope, tight end's got to come back to the ball. He's running a post. You ever seen somebody running a post on a back shoulder throw come back to the ball with a DB on your back? That's not a come back to the ball type of conversation, right? That's 100%. It's the throw is off. The DB gets a hand and an arm in there. I'm not real sure the ball didn't deflect off the hand and then off his helmet and up in the air. But that is 100% not on Dalton Schultz. So I've been critical of Dalton Schultz. I totally understand the frustration with Dalton Schultz. But that interception in the end zone is on one guy, and that's C.J. Stroud, period. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, the guy's going to make a mistake every now and then. That was a mistake. both with the throw and the field position, the situation that they were in, that was on C.J. Stroud. And my last one, Ron, I'm not going to use it because me and you are going to get to that later on. Derek Stingley Jr., we got a conversation to have.
Yeah, we had a small one yesterday. Looks like we may have
some. Yeah, circle back to that thing, huh?
People are still convinced that ball hit him in the hands. I've watched it.
I don't know that it didn't hit a hand, but if it hit a hand, it went through the DB's hand, and the DB had his arms across both of Dalton Schultz's arms.
May have hit a hand, but it wasn't. Wasn't standing by himself.
No, he wasn't standing there.
It was a couple there. All right, let's hear from the head coach, DeMeco Ryans. We'll hear what he's got to say as they get ready to take on the Green Bay Packers. That's coming up next, right here, live on the Drive.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. DeMeco Ryans has spoken to the media. You hear that coming up here shortly. Also, in the 3 o'clock hour, you'll be able to hear from C.J. Stroud, as he will also speak to the media as well. A lot going on headed into this game against the Packers. Here is the head coach, DeMeco Ryans at NRG.
Different violation. Were you guys, when you signed him, did you kind of have an inkling that maybe something might happen, or was it kind of far along or sudden in the process?
Unfortunate that Mario isn't here with us. Mario is playing a really good ball for us, and we just let the suspension play itself out. We'll have guys step up in that role. We get Kurt back, added to the roster. We got DeMeco in. We'll continue to roll our D-line as we have all year.
From your perspective, how much has Matt LaFleur's play calling changed from when he had Aaron to where he has Love now?
I can't go back that far, but it's I think Matt's a really, really good coach, really bright coach. He does a really good job of just creating a lot of chaos when it comes to the pre-snap, and that's where I think they gain a huge advantage. You talk about the motions, the snap points, and just being able to have many various plays, whether it's a run game or in a passing game. Just he really makes you work as a defense to communicate pre-snap, makes you work post-snap to really know who you're matching in coverage. So it's a very difficult offense, right, to defend because of so much movement, and Matt has done a good job with that. You know, his entire career, Matt has been the head coach there in Green Bay. You know, he's had a top offense, and those guys have been in the playoffs, so it's a credit to him and the work that he's done.
You guys have kind of faced that. Does that help you? You'd be better prepared for how to navigate it?
We hope it helps us that we've seen some like offenses like this before. Last year practicing versus the Dolphins in training camp, and this year going against the Rams, you see some of those similar things, some of the similar concepts that show up, just all the pre-snap movements and defense. It stresses you, so it's a challenge for us. And I think, you know, with what we've seen so far, our guys have handled it well. But it'll be a matter on Sunday, like how do we handle it on Sunday with our guys, and I feel like they'll do a good job with it.
What do you like about Hewitt and Hanson from a standpoint of them potentially playing more defensive snaps if called upon?
Yeah, Neville and Jake they've been here with us for a while. They've gotten a lot of reps. They know how we play. They know, what to expect. They know how to communicate. So it's nothing new to them. You know, if they have to go out and get snaps, feel confident in those guys being able to step up and help us.
You look at their defense. Xavier McKinley leads the league in interception. Why do you think they've been so good at taking away the football?
I think the Packers have been good at taking the football away, starting with their defensive coordinator, Change, and Jeff Hafley coming over. And I know his emphasis, from being with them, his emphasis is always on the ball, creating negative plays. That's what he truly believes in. And you see, his imprint on his defense instantly. He got really good players, McKinney, Alexander, guys. They attack the football the right way, and that's help them win football games. And the ball is the most important thing. Like, you can take it away and give the offense a short field, like, it really helps you win games and helps you be successful. So that defense is thriving in the turnover market. They're leading the NFL in turnovers. And for us, we have to do a great job being conscious of protecting the ball at all costs.
Are there any challenges for Autry, maybe given the fact he hasn't really had to, hasn't played this year, as far as being in shape and ready to go and maybe like a snap count limit or anything?
Yeah, Autry, he's ready to go. He's been doing a lot of work. You know, while people weren't watching him, while he wasn't here, he put a lot of work in. And that's the biggest thing. And that's a credit to all our guys. And I really, you know, with our sports performance group and the way they work with our guys when they're not here, like, it just shows how Dylan came back. Dylan was ready to go. Damian steps back in. Joe steps back in. Like, that's a credit to not just the football side, but our sports performance side, our training room, and how they have our guys prepared. When they do get back, they're back and they're ready to be effective for us.
Jordan Love is one of the best play-action quarterbacks. Jordan Love is one of the best play-action quarterbacks in the league. What is it about their path, play-action pass game that makes it so lethal?
With the Packers' play-action passing game, it's what makes it lethal. They have really good speed. You know, on the perimeter, they have speed. They have guys can go up and attack the football, come down with it. And the quarterback is able to buy even more time when you have the play-action in the front. Has done a great job protecting it, but the quarterback is able to buy even more time to allow those deep shots to get down the field. So the ball will be up. It's just a matter of, you know, who's making the play. Like, can we defensively come down with some of those plays? That'll be the challenge the entire game.
Coach, I know that Jordan Love gets a lot of the accolades. What have you seen from that Green Bay Packers running attack?
Adding Jacobs has been, I think it's been a nice addition for them. I know Matt wants to run the football. That's where they want to thrive. That's where they want to live. First things first, they want to establish a run game and run it as much as they can. And so with Jacobs, he's a strong, powerful runner, great contact balance. You know, one guy doesn't take him down a lot. So it has to be a collective effort from our defense, our backside guys, everybody getting off of blocks, closing, and we have to swarm and corral Jacobs because he's such a tough runner.
Jason, from a routes, yak, and just speed standpoint, what do you see from him? How do you rate that wide receiver?
Who's the guy you said? Oh, Reed, yeah. Reed, he's one of their most explosive players. It jumps off the tape. Like, they try to get the ball in his hands many ways as possible, whether they're putting him in the backfield on wide receiver runs or getting it to him just on the short intermediate passes. Like, this kid is explosive. He's a big play threat anytime he touches the football, and not just catching the ball, but his ability to cut back, his ability, right, to burst past defenders. It's cool to see a young player who stepped up and, you know, been an impact player for them, and I know they're pleased with what he's done. So we have to make sure we have eyes on him at all times.
Hey, Coach, that one time that the Texans won at Lambeau, you played that game. What do you remember from that game?
Last time at Lambeau, I remember it being cold. That's what I remember. Lambeau is a special place. I told our players that today. It's a special place to play. You talk about, you know, the history of football, right? It's always special to play there, and it's even more special when you can get a victory in Lambeau because they always have, you know, a tough team. It's always a tough battle there. Guys, be prepared. But I want our guys really, you know, understand the atmosphere, right, and really just take a look and look around and see how special that place is. And like I told him today, it's even more special when you get a win. It's not going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough, right? They're a tough team, really well-prepared team. We have our hands full, but man, I want our guys to embrace the moment of playing in Lambeau.
How do you do that? You're a guy who's really, you know, next man up, next week, on to the next one. How do you soak that in and keep that mindset? Like, enjoy the history and the atmosphere and all that?
Yeah, you have to. I mean, I love football. I know that's why everybody's here or whoever's watching this. I'm pretty sure you enjoy football and know the history of football. If not, you know, why are you here? And everybody understands the significance of Lambeau and how, you know, how special that place is.
Hey, kind of following up on, you often refer to sports performance and what a great job they do. Can you just talk about that relationship? Do you let them kind of lead the recovery with the players? They let you know when, hey, coach, it's time. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. With our sports performance staff, we do. They lead. They take ownership of making sure once a player is, you know, turned over to them, you know, they take them and whatever they need to do to make sure that player is right to get back in football shape. They do whatever the player needs, and it's on an individual basis. And I think that's where our strength lies with our program. We have a big enough staff to where we can give guys that individual attention and give them exactly what they need, not so much of a group setting, but it's directly focused to them and their position to make sure when they come back, like, they've worked their individual drills and the things they need to do in a position-specific manner, they've already worked those things. So when they're back and ready to stay.
Coach was talking about Jacobs early. He's forced 28 missed tackles in the league. How are you all able to teach tackling, knowing that after training camp, you don't have that much time in the pads? A lot of the times, the practice is shortened, and you're not in pads. How are you still able to teach tackling?
To teach tackling in season, it's, first off, it's a mindset. It's always a mindset. Like, you want to get the guy down or not. And you show up with the mindset that you want to get the guy down, you'll get him down. And then it comes to, in practice, we're not physically tackling in practice, but it's about body positioning. Are you putting yourself in good body position, good posture? Are you taking the proper angles? Are you closing with the proper tracking angle inside out on guys? And is everybody running to the football in practice? That's how you work tackling in practice. And we have one day that we put the pads on. And every time we have the pads on, we want to make sure we're thudding and stopping the ball carrier in the hole. That's how you work your tackling in season. When you can't be too physical, you're not going to the ground, but you can still get better at putting your body in the right spot and wrapping up.
All right. As he said, some thudding is what he said there. But I think a big thing to take away from that was they're going to need some guys to step up this week, some guys to come through. And as always, Clint, he always seems to feel confident, right? Hey, Kurt Heinisch has to step in, and Danico Autry's ready.
You don't have much of an option at this point. You don't have much of an option at this point. Yeah, Ron, I there's a couple things that I take away, man. I think the immediate, aggressive, intense response of about Autry, is he ready to go? Yeah, he's ready to go. He's been putting in a bunch of work. He's ready. And he didn't say this, and there may be a snap count just because it literally is the first play game action the guy's seen this year. But the way that he responded was almost like, hell no, we ain't no snap count. Hell no, it don't matter. We're going to do what we can do to win. The guy's ready to play. Boom. And he went into detail of talking about the training staff, the medical staff, the training staff, and how diligently they work to make sure that the players aren't just healthy, but they're literally ready to go. Roland Ramirez over there is I know him well. He was actually coming up through the arena ball ranks when I was playing. Unbelievable dude. Takes a ton of pride in his profession. He's a true pro. And so not surprised that that's the approach that they take over here. Not surprised that he stuck around with D'Amico and Nick Caserio through all the change that has come and gone. The other thing that stuck out, I think you mentioned a little bit, Ron, was he was asked about Love and the QB play, but he talked about having the guys around him, the speed, guys who attack the ball, plus the QB's ability to buy time. And he said, can we be in position to make plays? And when we're there in position to make those plays, can we go make those plays? I think that is, he said a lot throughout that 10 minutes, but I think that is the one that's going to be most telling about this football game.
Yeah. All right, that was the head coach, D'Amico Ryans. You'll hear from C.J. Stroud in just a bit here in the 3 o'clock hour. And speaking of C.J. Stroud, before we hear from him, I think there's a conversation for him in this game as he faces another great young quarterback in Jordan Love. We'll discuss that coming up next.